Hello, welcome to TIYA After Dark. This is the premium feed for This Is Your Afterlife. It is unbound by the format of the main show. Thank you for listening, being part of the Patreon. I don't run ads, so your support helps me make the main show and avoid another coma. And today, I'm just going to get right to it. I am running down a best of best ofs. At the end of every year, one of the things I look forward to, and I've learned to just embrace looking forward to it. A lot of people have complicated relationships to year-end lists. And there's a lot of thoughts around ranking them, presenting them unranked. Oh, this doesn't really reflect the way people actually like experience art. And all that stuff's totally valid. But I think what I have made peace with is that there is a real pleasure in a rank. There is a real pleasure in a definitive seeming argument starting list. And so this year I was starting to read through some of these lists, and specifically the Pitchfork list, the albums list. This is only going to be a list of albums, not songs. I couldn't go that in depth, but I read the Pitchfork list and I started listening to things I hadn't heard before. And there was one particular thing, which I'll get to later, that I was like, this is just from the first moment, I was like, holy shit, this is incredible. I was like, and I just felt compelled. There's the word. I felt compelled to share my excitement. And then I started to think about just how overwhelming all these lists are. And I think, if I'm not giving myself too much credit, I think a skill, a service I can offer to the world is, as a proud music guy, my first job out of college was working for Pitchfork doing news. So I wasn't a reviews guy. I wasn't that cool. And it's definitely something I try to use for a very specific cachet these days. Don't tend to lead with, but if you've listened to the show long enough, you know this fact about me. But that was my first job out of college. I'm proud of the fact that now there's basically no record store I can walk into and feel intimidated by. I didn't realize this was a goal I had starting out my life or first getting into music. And I'm not saying I know everything, but I feel confident expressing genuine curiosity about things. And I have a high enough reference level that I can sort of, if someone is referring to something, I can kind of triangulate the other influences, the other people in the scene, in the genre, you know, whatever, to make sense of what the recommendation is. So anyway, with that being true, I also did work in a record store out of college. Actually, at the same time, I was working like 6 days a week. I was working on weekends at my Pitchfork job. You know, thankfully, compensation has just, it's been so great throughout my entire adult life. Everyone's just getting paid completely fairly and no complaints. So anyway, one of the things that I take pride in is being able to, I don't have the anxiety always about sharing and asking for music recommendations and like, what are your favorite blank, you know? And I think I'm pretty decent at being able to translate a recommendation for someone who's not super deep in it, not like a record nerd, whatever. But there's a lot of fucking good, weird music out there that I think can be made accessible to more people than it currently seems like it is. So while going through all these year-end lists and getting really excited about this one album that, again, I'll talk about later, which isn't, it's just the impetus for the list. It's not like it's as good as some of the other ones on this list. But I was like, it would be fun to read as many of these year-end lists as I could and then pick. I'm just explaining the title of the show here. This is the best albums I've found on the best albums of the year lists I've read. That's it. So let me see. I've got the sources in the description of the episode, the notes on Patreon, but we did Pitchfork, we did Bandcamp's essential releases, Brad Rose, Foxy Digitalis, he did a big, long, weird wrap-up, Paste, The New Yorker, The Economist, that bastion of music recommendation, AllMusic, which is fucking, AllMusic is so good. AllMusic used to be a big reference book that had, you know, 1-0 to 5-star ratings for every album in an artist's discography. And then also recommendations of, even beyond the star ratings, which albums to get into of that artist as like starting points. And I think one of their big reviewers got let go this year, like laid off for some reason. And I just, what Ned Raguette, is that, I don't know how to say his name. I'm going to mess up. What's the word? I'm going to mess up everything, I guess. I'm going to mess up the pronunciation of people's names. Ned Raguette, I think, was the guy who used to write for AllMusic. And there was someone who got laid off. Anyway, I hope AllMusic stays as strong as it even in its weakened state is now. You go to allmusic.com. AllMusic fucking rules, dude. So anyway, there's a bunch of other year-end lists there. I think I had over 15. Oh, I should shout out Matt Sage. Did some recommendations on his Substack. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, like between 15 and 20 year-end lists that I ran down. So that's probably hundreds of unique releases that I... Here's the scanning process. We're going to start with criteria. First, I have to read the year-end list. The year-end lists I picked ultimately were random. And that's the other thing. Ultimately, this whole list is random. But random in this specific way. Does that make it not random? I don't think so. I think it is up to some chance. Some chance of which lists did I read. Then... So I have to click on the list, decide I'm going to use it for this project, and then I have to read the list. My eyes have to, at the very least for these hundreds of albums, I read words, or the words glazed my eyes. Whether I really processed those words is another thing. So the point I'm making here is I did not listen to every album, definitely not in full, not even close on those lists. They had to sound interesting to me. This is the other thing. They had to look interesting to me. The name of the artist had to be something interesting to me. The album cover had to be something interesting to me. It had to be a genre I was, that day at the time I was reading, interested in hearing more of. It had to be something I knew enough about that I wasn't just like glazing over reading the description. So that already weeds out a lot of things. Then the things I decided to listen to, many of those things did not make it past 10 seconds max of listening. So all of that to say, this is a highly unscientific best of best ofs list. Okay. Very much dependent on my mood. This is the thing. And I'll talk about this when I talk about the Deftones record, you know. It's a spoiler for coming up that I'll talk about, but I'm tricked by album covers. An album cover is cool enough. I'm like, oh, this music sounds like the album cover. You know, these record guys, I don't know if that's even a thing anymore. If people are intimidated, people even go into physical music stores anymore. I hope they do. I hope people who listen to this podcast do. You know, wear a mask, go into the store. And so I Yeah, I just think even those people have their unconscious biases that like make their everyone's a freaking little kid about this stuff. But anyway, the other thing I would say, so the criteria I set for myself, other than those sort of like filtering processes from those that first listen, things that I listened to a little longer, made a long list. It was kind of I was kind of constantly adding to and revisiting things on the long list and cutting it. So there's like a medium list and then a short list of things that I was like, I need to like re-listen to these things. And once I had the short list, I was able to cut that down and come up with now 11 albums. 11 albums that I consider the best of all of these best of lists. There are three other albums I want to talk about at the end that I'm calling unlisted faves that did not make any of these year-end lists that I just want to recommend because I think they're nice. But I have not ranked these 11. They are just they're grouped by their groupings as you'll hear. But yeah, there are 11. And so all of that to say, this is not the best music of the year. This is just a place to start with very little pressure. If you're like, what happened in music this year? Did that big artist's album, is it worth it? Is there anything new from people that I haven't heard of before? Yes and yes, in both cases. And I would love to introduce you to those things.